referring to the return of Christ or his kingdom. That's substantially the same thing, is it not? But if that is the thing that is referred to, in that which is perfect is come, then all the spiritual gifts are in effect today, including the gift of prophecy. Where do we end with this gift of prophecy if it prevails today? Is the Bible a completed book? We answer yes. It is a completed book. It's a complete instruction book. And so we need no further instruction. Dr. Bogard discusses Ephesians 4, 8 through 14, and he says on page 49, the unity of the faith is the New Testament. Now, many people don't believe that. I'm inclined to believe he's right on that. The three remaining gifts, or if you want to say the three remaining graces, you know, people have a way of disagreeing, batting words around. I've got brethren who say, well, these are not spiritual gifts. Faith, hope, and love are not. They're graces. Okay, they're graces. Spiritual gifts that are graces. Does that make it any easier, better? I don't know, I think a lot of times we agree and use different words. Let me tell you, the primary purpose of miracles was to confirm the Word. The Word of God has been confirmed. The Word of God is confirmed. And you can tell today about whether a man is preaching the truth or not preaching the truth by the Word of God. You can gauge him by the Word of God. You can test him by the Word of God. We're told in 1 John 4:1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, or test them. That's the meaning. What does that mean? Well, if a new movement comes into town, pretty wild, but you say, I believe I'll test that, so I'll go along with it. And if it doesn't work out right, I'll come back to the church and apologize, and they can take me back in. Bible says test the spirits. You don't test that way, you can test it with the Word of God. You know, I have had fellows drank whiskey that would use this scripture. Say, you know, the Bible says, try the spirits. Well, you'd be surprised how people use the Bible. Try the spirits. And be filled with the Spirit. And a lot of them are filled with the Spirit. Wrong spirit, isn't it? Wrong spirit. Now, in Mark 16:17, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. You know, it's always been kind of strange and interesting to me that these healers won't take all of this.
Right.
Now, I know what I'm talking about. They explain away. One fellow, I listened to him on PTL. Yeah, I do watch that sometimes because I get information. He was talking about this, and he was a healer, you know, and he could do marvelous things, but The snakes now, he wouldn't take that. He said that was a reference to the devil, that you'd have mastery over the devil. Well, I don't read it that way. I think it's talking about snakes, don't you? You know, the kind that crawl on you. The kind, the viper, the snake, the kind that fastened itself on Paul's hand and he shook it off in the fire, and they thought, boy, he's going to fall over dead. He escaped the law, but not God. That didn't hurt him. Miraculous. Well, of course, you know, we've got still a rather active group of snake handlers in America, in some of the hill countries, in some of the Appalachian mountains back up in there. They meet and have their rattlesnakes, and it's not an uncommon thing for one to be bitten and die as a result of it. I have clipping to that effect. All right? Not that I know of in the scriptures. this is a promise. Now, of course, if you will note many of the Bibles point out that this part of the book of Mark is not found in two of the oldest manuscripts. Now, I don't mention that to the ordinary lay people out there because it might be a disturbing thing. I think you need to understand it. But to me, the fulfillment of this verse is found in Matthew 16:20. Would you turn there, please? Matthew 16:20. It's Mark 16:20. I think it's just this simple. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. And the word is confirmed. No one would doubt that the word of God is confirmed. And the miraculous things that are recorded in the book we know as the Bible still work to confirm to us that Jesus was who he claimed to be. What about the miracles recorded in the book of John? Why were they recorded? That people might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and believing might have life through his name. Now, Dr. Bogard, of course, gives his illustration about the signs and likens it to the signs that a surveyor may leave. That's all right. I don't know whether that's the right explanation of it or not. I'd like to give you two verses that I think pretty well summarize where we are today and the order that we have today. Would you turn to John 20 and 29? I think this summarizes, along with another verse, where we are today. You recall that they had church and Thomas missed it. And then 8 days later, they had church again. And remember the first time they had church, and they went away and they told Thomas that, you know, we had church for the Lord. He said, no, I don't believe that. I won't believe him until I see him. I've got to see the nail prints, and I've got my hand inside. So the Lord asked him to do that. And verse 29, Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Now that's talking about us, where we are. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. It's better. Nothing pleases God more than faith. In 2 Corinthians 5 and 7, it says, we walk by faith and not by sight. Now, these fellows who are always wanting a sign, they want sort of a handrail to walk by, or they want something beyond just sheer faith. Is it not true when they ask for a sign? It's about stretch time, isn't it? Let's just stand and stretch. All right, thank you, and we'll try it again now.
Did you say
1 Corinthians 5, 7? 2 Corinthians 5, 7. 2 Corinthians 5, 7. We walk by faith, not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5, 7. I think those two scriptures tell us our order for today. We walk by faith, not by sight. We're not seeking signs. You know, on a number of occasions, Jesus rebuked people who kept asking him for a sign. Didn't he? Don't you think he would rebuke today on the same order? When people turn from his written revelation, asking for further confirmation. More signs. A sinful and adulterous generation seeketh for a sign. Give us a sign. Now, I believe the Bible is the Word of God. But you know, someone, I don't remember who it was, gave proof that the Bible is inspired by simply writing down the reference, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Now, that's not a proof. That's a claim. I could claim to be inspired. That wouldn't prove it. Would it? So while I believe the Bible is inspired, I'd like to read 2 Timothy 3:16, 17. That doesn't prove that the Bible is inspired. To make the claim doesn't prove it. Now, are there indisputable proofs or evidences that this is the Word of God? I think so. I think so. And I think one that's mentioned here is fulfilled prophecy. Let me ask you this. Do you know who will be elected the next president of the United States? Say, we'll know pretty soon, but do you know now? No, you don't know. No, you don't. You can't ever tell. Carter might win. He might. Turns on that smile. He gets Billy out of the way. He's going back to Georgia, I understand. Well, anyhow, you don't know. What's the stock market going to do? Can you predict the stock market? Boy, if you could. If you could tell what the stock market's going to do from day to day and week to week. Can you foretell the future? And we have some who claim they can. But you know, Jean Dixon, as an example, said in one of her prophetic utterances that Jacqueline Kennedy was not interested in Onassis, and they got married the next day. Now, according to the law of Moses, they'd stone her to death. That's what happened to that old sister. See, well, she's not your sister. In Adam, in Adam, yes, I suppose. And then he mentions the scientific accuracy of the Bible, the agreement of science and the Bible. Now, the Bible's not a scientific book. When it speaks on matters of science, it's correct. Even years before science discovered certain things, the Word of God spoke of it. And we'll deal with that a little bit later on. Now, on page 52, here's a ringer. I'll tell you, I was slow on this. I'm not too quick to accept things that are taught to me, no matter who teaches them. And to conclude that the devil is a miracle worker and that he has preachers was pretty shocking to me. And I was a little bit slow to accept it. I grew up with the idea that, you know, preachers preach, they're all not necessarily God, but next to him. Now, I are one, and I know that preachers are not divine. They're a long, long way from it. But open your Bibles to the seventh chapter of Exodus, way back there. The devil was working, seeking to thwart the will of God. Exodus 7:10. You say, was the devil back there? Sure. Was he on the job? Yes. And Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rods before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. And Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers. Now the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments, for they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rod. So God worked a bigger miracle. Now someone's real smart. Tell me. Did these magicians actually turn their rods and snakes?
Was it
Now, I know that's what it says. Anybody want to comment on that?
Uh-huh. It was taking a larger power than what the human beings that it brought about to change it.
In other words, can the old scratch, can the booger man give snake life? Can he turn a rod or a walking stick into a snake?
I believe he did.
What do you think, Wayne? I'm going to pick on you. I like you, and I'm going to use you. I'm going to pick on you. I'm going to be mean to you at times. I'm listening. Did, and some of you, just I'm waiting on you. Parker, I'll let you in on this. Did these magicians actually cast down their rod, and did they become writhing snakes?
It was explained to me that the enchantments of the magicians were hypnotic in nature. But I've had a little trouble figuring out how that Aaron's snake chewed up something that was in somebody's hypnotized mind. Yes, they turned them into snakes.
All right.
I believe that God allowed him to do that. That was a way of showing his power. That was showing he was powerful, more powerful than there. Of course, the devil could have, he allowed it to be done to show his power.
Yes, all right. Well, that's what I'm asking. All right.
Is not the Antichrist to come into the world doing miracles, proving that he wanting to prove that he is the false prophet?
Yes. Well, you since you mentioned the Antichrist, you're going to find that that God works as a Trinity. You have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and Satan's going to work as a Trinity. The dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. And they're one. I mean, there is a oneness of purpose. I'm not saying I can explain this thing. I think I know this much. That the old scratch himself is going to work as a Trinity as we come to the end. All right?
Do you think that today and now that the devil is performing miracles? Do you think that there are any real miracles there in the fourth place?
I don't know. I don't know. Peggy, I've answered your question. You know, I can answer any question you can ask me. I may have to tell you. I don't know. I know this much, that there are greater powers in the mind than most of us are willing to admit. There are tremendous powers in the mind. And many people are cured. But now that's one kind of illness. And the other is, let's say for instance, that this arm, my arm, never fully developed. And it hangs limply, about half developed, like one man. So stretch forth your hand. Come on, miracle workers, let's see something like that. And that's the thing that many Christian medical doctors have raised. They don't work miracles like Jesus worked miracles. All right?
Well, I've got a question. A couple of weeks ago, I think it was on 2020 that
had a man on there that was one eye was patched, and he said he could read with that eye, and you know, they patched up his eye. And they supposedly had a lady on there. Did you see that?
No.
Yeah, it was in Far City, Arkansas. And he could read, he could, you know, had people come up and read their driver's license and stuff like that. Now, they said that they had a lady there that was an optometrist or something like that. Anyhow, it was an eye specialist, and she said that she didn't see how he could, you know, read with it because he didn't have an eye.
He didn't have an eyeball, just, yeah. Just
I believe in mind reading. People, there are people who can read the minds of others. I mean, by that, you can come up and concentrate on any particular thing, and they can read your mind. Now, by what power they do that is, I do not know. I just say that I believe that that the mind is capable of doing things that most of us have not recognized. I wouldn't call that a miracle. I don't know the explanation.
I don't either.
All right.
Are you sure that those things there that are in the mind are of man himself? Or could they not be part of these miracles we're talking about here?
Could be. Could be. I think the Book of Man is using a lot of people today. I really do.
Yeah.
A lot of the religious leaders. I really do. And I'm going to go ahead and say it. I think there are some missionary Baptists who let the devil have really more to do in their lives than God does. You say, well, how do you mean that? Well, if the devil can get you to live a self-centered Archie Bunker life, he's pretty well dominated you. That's my charity. Get over. Bring me a glass of beer. You know, everything's for me. If the devil's not happy when he can get people to do that, even though they go to church every once in a while, and he's actually exercising more control over the day-to-day activities of that person than God himself, because the man is not allowing God to do it. It's not that God is unwilling to do it, or that he's not powerful enough to do it, but it's just that man yields to the flesh and lets the old devil himself dictate to him how he'll act on the job and how he'll act when he gets home. And it's really a matter of being self-centered or Christ-centered. And some people are just pretty well wrapped up in self. Wife, go get me a cup of coffee. Why, you sorry rascal, you go over there and get you a cup and pour it yourself. You know, sure enough, I may be talking to some of you that are like that. You got your feet up high on your head and give orders to your wife like she was a slave. Didn't get an amen, didn't get a grunt, and there wasn't a half a dozen smiles. There must be some truth. Must have hurt a little bit on that. Let me tell you, let's give a little more love and consideration to that woman we live with. Wouldn't hurt to tell her every once in a while that you love her. Wouldn't hurt. Wouldn't break your jaw. Now, she might get suspicious. I'm not going to promise you that. Boy, he's been up some. He's been into something. Well, so much. Parker's afraid to even go. He's ready. Yeah. All right. Exodus 8:20. Now that we've got all this settled, I like to get things worked out. We've all settled. We know exactly what happened. And Moses and Aaron did so. This is Exodus 7:20. Moses and Aaron did so as the Lord commanded, and he lifted up the rod and smote the waters that were in the river in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants, and all the water that were in the river were turned to blood, and the fish that was in the river died, and the river stank, and the Egyptians could not drink of the water of the river. There was blood throughout all the land of Egypt, and the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments. You mean they turned water into blood? What do you think?
Maybe they did. Let the Bible say what it wants to say in chapter 13. That's what I said.
Well, on over to chapter 8 and verse 6. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land. And the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs on the land of Egypt. Well, where they had their big kneading trawls, where they, you know, made their bread, cooked in big ovens, had frogs in that, you know, frogs in the dough, frogs in the oven. Can you imagine slipping in between the sheets and frogs? Frogs everywhere. And the magicians were able to bring up frogs. Why were they doing this? It was an effort to thwart the will of God. Was it not?
Looks like if they were going to try to thwart the will of God, they would have been trying to make the water turn back pure and make the frogs go away.
No, no, they're just saying we've got the same power. We've got power. You, huh?
That didn't help them out.
Which made them say worse. That's your fault.
Yeah.
Well, unsaved people are not supposed to act in good sense, not in good sense.
All right? Well, I'm not going to argue with you. Here, but it did in a respect, because that after each of the miraculous works through the Pharaoh acts, things he made right. He didn't go to the magician and say, okay, maybe you disappear, he went and looked in there and said, entreat the Lord.
Yeah. And they asked him when, and he said, tomorrow. In other words, I'll take another night with the frog. You know, Martin Kahneman has a famous sermon. I've never heard it, but I want that tape. I want to hear it say it's entitled Another Night with the Frog. That's always been kind of strange to me. He wanted the frogs to go away, and the question was asked when. He said, tomorrow. Take another night with the frog. Well, that makes as much sense as the way unsaved people act today. Would you like the grace of God to forgive you and save you? Yes. When? Maybe tomorrow night. Another night with the frog. Well, you can see that they imitated the work of God's men, and if you'll note in Revelation 13 and verses 13-14, now I think this is yet in the future. Now, Peggy, you asked, I believe you asked, do you think miracles are being wrought by the devil today. Now, I can be sure of this. In the past, the devil has worked miracles, right? And in the future, he will work miracles. So, it stands to reason there may be some miraculous things going on now in the power of the devil. In fact, I am inclined to believe that. I would maybe be hard pressed to prove it, though I do strongly believe it. And I think that demonic activities will pick up, be accelerated as we approach the end of the age. That seems reasonable and logical in the light of the scriptures, don't you think?
You think that activity has already started picking up?
Yes, I think that. I think that. But I label it as something I think, all right?
The age that we're living in now, it's unlike any other time in history that even as children see everything happen. And it's hard to satisfy people anymore. We want something, you know, to outdo the other.
That's a good point. And that's why, for the child, that's why that it seems to me that the world is ripe for the miraculous. You know, we've just about seen and experienced everything. It's a strange thing. My son Alan taught some in California, and he said it just was mind-boggling to him that he had students 7th and 8th grade that would take LSD in between classes. They were not from poor families. They were from the affluent families. Tried everything else, you know. Why not try that? And he said, you get where you kind of spot them, you know. They, I've never used LSD. hallucinations. Say that. Hallucinogenic. That's a big word. All right, I'll try to remember that. It's strange thing, you know. The teacher may move toward them and get bigger, move back, and it's but it's different. It breaks the monotony. never before have people had so much and been so bored with the situation. They're looking for something. They're kind of like the man that was visiting a church. And they announced a meeting of the board, and so he stayed. And the pastor said, "You know, I think there must be a misunderstanding." Said, "This is a meeting of the board." He said, "No, sir." Said, "I understood that," and said, "I don't know if anyone more bored than I am. So if it's a meeting of the board, I'm in it." The world is ripe for this sort of thing. Get anything money can buy. Listen, you can't believe, and I'm not an ancient of days, but I'd take you back further than you can go. I remember what a thrill it was to get oranges at Christmas. Can you go back that far? No, I don't think you could. You don't look that old. That's the only time I got oranges. That's the truth. It was at Christmas. Well, we got oranges. Well, listen, if you've got the money now, you can get just about any kind of food you want to make. It's already cooked. All you need to do is warm it up.
Our lobster's flown in from Maine every day.
Yeah. Well, that's true. And shrimp flown in from the coast. Never before have people had so much. And never before have people been so unhappy and discontented and bored with the whole thing. Sometimes you get that way when you come to school here. Isn't that awful? You don't believe that? Well, you do. You have days like that. It's awful. I have them like that. Yes, we're right for it. Listen to what it says in Revelation 13 and verses 13 and 14. And he doeth great wonders, so that he make a fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he hath power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, they should make an image to the beast which had a wound by sword and did live. And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he hath power to do. Now this is what? The false prophet? The unholy spirit? The Holy Spirit witnesses of Jesus Christ, doesn't it? The unholy spirit magnifies the Antichrist. Well, sometime before we get through the course, we'll talk a little further about the divine trinity and the satanic trinity and how they operate. They even operate in somewhat the same way. Of course, one with truth, the other with error.